The number one marketing strategy you need in today's business climate is networking. Word of mouth and referral marketing is the most powerful way to grow your business. But for many, just the idea of networking causes anxiety, frustration, and perhaps a little fear. The Once Timid Networker radio show will get you through these networking challenges by providing tips, suggestions, and real-life success stories of other business professionals who got out of their own way and learned to love networking. Now, here's your host, the original Once Timid Networker, Tara Schmeichel.
Welcome to the show today. This is Tara Schmeichel, the Once Timid Networker. I'm thrilled to be here with you and bring you some really good information today. The title of today's show is Becoming a Conscious Networker. Now, have you ever been driving home from someplace, maybe the store or an appointment or a job or, you know, whatever, you're driving home, and by the time you get back home, you can hardly remember the drive? Have you ever had that happen? You've driven from point A to point B, and you don't remember anything. You weren't conscious, really, of what happened there. Anything could have happened while you were traveling, but, you know, you wouldn't notice. There could be so many things that could have happened, maybe opportunities that possibly you could have been looking for, but you missed them. Now, I know that's happened to me on multiple occasions, but think of this. Has it ever happened to you when you're networking? You go to an event, and you walk away thinking, wow, I met a lot of people, but nothing really happened. Apparently, I was on autopilot. And here's the difference with autopilot networking. You start at point A, but you never get to point B. And point B in this story is business. And if we're networking this way, is it effective or productive? Is it even a good use of time? Not really. So at the beginning of the show, we stated our purpose of the program is to provide tips and advice for those who are looking to network more effectively. And one of the ways I do that is by asking people to be on the show who have inspired me, helped me, or mentored me. And today our guest or our featured expert is Beth Anderson. Now, most of you know that I got my networking start by joining BNI as a timid networker. And Beth was a person that I followed every word that she said. She provided our region of BNI Minnesota with a weekly tip that I saved, and I archived it and referred to it and learned so much from it. But she was also part of a Yahoo group or a Yahoo forum that I silently participated in. And then when I met her in real life, I was like, oh my gosh, she really is the rock star that I always thought she was. Now, we have actually become very good and dear friends, and I've continued to learn and be inspired by Beth and the things that she has accomplished and continues to do. So, Beth, welcome to the Once Timid Networker radio show.
Wow, thanks, Tara. It's great to be here.
Well, I'm happy to have you here. This is thrilling for me. Can you start off by telling our guests, tell us a little bit about your business, first off?
Well, my business right now is called The Conscious Networker, mm-hmm. and it is a way to deliver a message to the networking world, people who want to learn about networking or want to get better at networking, mm-hmm. a way for me to speak in front of groups. I'm in the process of writing a new book and doing a weekly blog to generate some of that. It's funny you refer back to the Yahoo group and the weekly newsletter I did for 10 years on networking. I have a lot of material that is still valid today. Of course, it's taken a bit of a turn with the way the internet has changed, but face-to-face networking is still an extremely important part of everyone's business.
Definitely. Definitely. So tell me, and our listeners, how did you get here, Beth? Because you are a very successful person. You have been traveling the world. You've done a lot of really cool things that as we watch you on Facebook and on Twitter and so on, we're following you and thinking, oh, this is so cool that she's doing these things. So tell us, have you always been a world traveler? Tell us a little bit about you and how you got from point A to point B.
Okay. let's see. 17 years ago now, I can't believe that's possible, but it's true. Mm-hmm. 17 years ago, I was an IT manager. I've been in the computer field since I was 20, so goodness, 31 years, almost 32 years. I've been in computers, and I was always good at what I did, and I've done all kinds of things in the computer industry. And then came the day when I was told finally that I needed a college education by the owner of the company. I was a manager of an IT department. Had been working there for 2 years, and he said that I needed a college education. Well, I certainly believe in college education, but I don't have one. And at that time, almost 20 years ago, it would take 7 years to get a degree. So I made a different choice. I left the company and started my own business. This is back, we were just talking about this the other day. This was back at the beginning of the internet, so 1997.
So it seems like ages.
It does, 1996, yeah, a long, long, long time ago. But the internet was barely starting, so I started doing what they call in my industry break fix, which means I'd go into your office and fix your computer. And my clients kept asking me for websites, and so I realized that if I ever wanted to move out of the metropolis of Minneapolis, I needed a business that was portable, and the internet has provided that for not only myself, but a lot of people are now able to work from very many places instead of just their office or someone else's office.
Yeah.
So I started doing websites back when there was no way to do it yourself, and I ended up building a website design business that worked for small businesses. And after that first year, I was doing okay, but I didn't know how to get clients. I was always very good at what I did, but I didn't know how to talk to a customer. I didn't know how to explain my business. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, I was introduced to the world's largest referral organization, BNI, Business Network International, of which I know you're mm-hmm. a large part of, and that's how we met.
Mm-hmm.
I went to my first chapter. I received, it's a weekly meeting. There were no website designers on the planet at the time. It was a brand new industry.
Yeah.
So I was able to join a chapter right away. And I took a leap of faith there. It was either figure this out or I was going to have to go back to working in corporate America. And I really didn't want to do that. I had gotten accustomed to setting my own schedule and making as much money as I wanted to work.
Mm-hmm.
So BNI offered me the opportunity to learn all the pieces that I was missing, which was all about networking.
Yeah.
So I, like with most things that I get interested in, I kind of went full bore and started reading everything that had ever been written out of BNI and other places. And over the years, I became a director, and I started providing a website solution for BNI regions that allow them to manage their franchises. 4 years ago, I was asked by the head of BNI, Dr. Ivan Meisner, to repeat what I had done, only do it for the corporation.
Mm-hmm.
So I started a project called BNI Connect, and 3.5 years later, we launched a product that's now used in 49 countries in 22 different languages, and my time with that had come to an end as well. It was turning back into corporate America, and I was ready for a change. So I set out on my own, kind of again, sold my website business to my brother,
mm-hmm.
and started the Conscious Networker. I also headed for Costa Rica and have spent 15 weeks networking from another place, another country.
And you've done a marvelous job of it. And so, too, for you listeners, if you are a BNI member and you're wondering about our website that we use, Beth is the person who helped with that. So if you're wondering either one of those, well, who is Beth or what is this, here it all comes together. The pieces fit. So you've been living a life of really cool stuff, and you've been traveling, and you've been networking. And part of the Conscious Networker, like you said, is being aware. Can you tell us just a little bit more about that before we get into the meat of the things that we're going to talk about today, being
sure.
conscious while we're networking?
Very early on, I was very early on in my networking learning, I was introduced to a topic or a concept called top of mind. And what that, I believe it came from Art Radke, actually. What it means is you need to stay top of mind of your customers. Have you ever had a friend that, you know, you're the one who always does the phone calling and the contacting, and when you don't talk to them, you just never hear from them? They're always happy to hear from you, but they have a busy life too, and and they don't think about you when you're not in front of them, and that's top of mind. So staying top of mind has always been a concept I've enjoyed. And over the years, I've realized that I've gotten very good at being able to listen to referrals for others. And what that means is, to me, is if you can help other people build their business, they will be more apt to help you build yours.
Right.
So in other words, if I'm, you know, let's say I have a real estate agent in my contacts that I know meets a lot of people, I can very easily turn a conversation, any conversation of any kind, into real estate. You know, where do you live? You know, I've spent so much time with real estate agents over the years, I could almost be one.
Yeah.
From a networking standpoint, you know.
Right.
You hear somebody is, you know, their kids are going away to college. Well, then you can turn that conversation to, oh, are you guys thinking of downsizing your house?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, if we're talking about a chiropractor, you know, somebody says they were in a car accident.
Right.
I mean, pretty much, I've been doing this almost 16 years now. I can take pretty much any business and turn a conversation around in order to get referrals for the other people in my life.
And I think that that's really important, Beth, because a lot of people that I work with and that I talk to, and that's what they say, is I don't know how to give referrals to other people, but you've really hit it when you say, you know, you are listening and you are actively changing a conversation so that you can be helpful. You're not necessarily just, you know, looking for opportunities. You are actively making the opportunities. Would that be a correct statement?
Absolutely. And I, what's always fascinated me is, because I think that I'm not really much of a nurturer type, though you and other people tell me different.
I think that you are, but only maybe selectively.
Yeah. You know, I've never had children, and that's what it always brings to mind for me. But what I've found is it's a whole lot easier to talk about somebody else's business than it is my own in situations like that. So you're at a networking event, or you've just met someone, or maybe you're with a new client or an existing client.
Mm-hmm.
How can you help relieve their pain? Maybe it's not you specifically that can come over and fix the drain pipe under their sink, but you know somebody who can. And by providing that value to your clients, friends, family, contacts, that's how you can grow other people's business. Now, once you start handing referrals over to that real estate agent or that plumber, they will, with the proper coaching from me, then start listening for me as well.
Right.
So in the website business, I was teaching people how to look at a business card. And if they saw a business card with a Yahoo email address, that was a good referral for me. I guess now it would be a Gmail address.
Yes.
That's a good referral for me because it means to me that the person who did their website, if they even have one, doesn't really know how to market it.
Yeah.
And that's the extra value I can bring to that. So it's all about helping other people grow their business and teaching them how to help you.
I agree completely. Now, I know before we had kind of discussed what we're going to talk about, but I think before we get, well, let's go ahead and just get into the meat, because I think we have, we've got a lot of things that we want to share today, and we may even have to just do two shows so that we can cover all this really great stuff. Because here's the thing, for you that are listening, whether you are a timid networker or you are a seasoned networker, there's always something to be learned. And the way that people do things in different ways can inspire you to make something else your own. And you don't have to do something exactly the same way, but it can certainly trigger something for you so that you go to that next networking event or that next BNI meeting or chamber event or family reunion for that matter. And you can look at it with new eyes, with open eyes, and be conscious. And that's what we're going to start with. Beth, can you tell us a little bit more about working an event? We've just mentioned a couple of things. And so in your experience, what have you found that would be, and getting back to, we for you guys who are listening, we really want to make our networking effective. Otherwise, we're not getting, you know, we're getting from point A to point B, but not the point B that we want, the business. And so when we're going to an event, what can we do to be effective? So, Beth, say that we've gone into, you know, a chamber event, and there's a room full of, you know, people that we don't know, but maybe there's a couple we do. Where would you start? What would you do in this type of a situation?
Well, I know, Tara, you're going to find this funny. Actually, you probably do know this about me, but I don't like networking events. They make me very nervous. I struggle going into a place where I don't know a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So I can fall into a timid networker standpoint very easily because I am one when it comes to this kind of thing.
We call those timid moments. It's just a moment.
Just a timid moment.
Yes.
So the things that I, and I like to make my life comfortable. So one of the things that I like to do before an event is find out who's going to be there. Okay? So if it's a chamber event, you know, who else do I, not only who do I know is going, but oftentimes you can get a list of attendees, mm-hmm. which can set your mind at ease. You know, well, I do know that I'm going to know Tara and Steve and Sue. Mm-hmm. So I know there'll be somebody to talk to. So as long as I know there's somebody to talk to, if nobody else will talk to me, I know I can go.
Right.
Now, of course, I've got a big stack of business cards with me, and I've got a pen. I've got all my stuff. Mm-hmm. And I have a goal. Now, I grew up in the world of computer sales back when it was hot and heavy, and I thought I learned a lot from the salespeople. What I learned was not necessarily benefits me in the long run. I like to make a goal for myself that I'm going to meet 3 new people at any given event. And that
3
would be
is such a great number, too.
Yeah, it's just it's an easy number. I've done it to myself. Well, I'm going to meet 20 new people. It doesn't work for me.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that works for you. It doesn't work for me. And I might talk to 20 people,
mm-hmm.
but I'm going to meet 3 of them, with the goal being I'm going to walk out of there with their business card and a reason to follow up with them.
So when you, just to clarify, now when you're talking about this and you said you might talk to 20, are you talking about these are 3 people that you intend to pursue, whether for yourself or someone else, that maybe you want to get to know better? Is that
correct? Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yep. And I want to come up, I want to have 3, a different reason, or could be, end up being the same reason for all 3 people of why to get in contact with them.
Okay.
Because a networking event is not about selling. You know, everybody's mm-hmm. there with the same purpose of marketing their business, but you don't close business at a networking event.
Right.
You open doors. So my goal would be just to open doors. So I go in, and the easiest way for me, I've found, is to find those people who are not talking to somebody else. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They're really easy to spot. They're generally hanging out in a corner somewhere. They look a little lost. They look a little scared.
Maybe a little timid.
A little timid, exactly. You can be their best friend instantly.
Mm-hmm.
All you need to do is walk up and say, hi.
Yeah.
I'm Beth Anderson, and introduce yourself. You will find something to talk about. In Minnesota, it's the weather. In California, it's cars. Depending on where you are in the world, there's always seems to be a fallback topic.
Okay.
The easiest way to be entertaining to us, somebody else, is to get them to talk about themselves. So you can have a question or two in your back pocket that you can pull out. You know, how long have you been in business? Not just what you do for a living, but why do you do what you do for a living?
Why is the why important? Why do I want to know why they do that?
Because you find out all kinds of things about someone that have nothing to do with their business when you ask why. You take it to a completely more personal level.
Mm-hmm.
And being personal with people is how I develop business relationships. I think that's the way we all develop the most effective business relationships, is by getting to know people personally. When you ask someone why do they do, you know, why are you a real estate agent. They'll launch into some long story about what they used to do, kind of like you asking me, where I had to give you 5 minutes of history.
Yeah.
How I ended up where I am.
Yeah. But that's that moment when you see their eyes sparkle. And we could see them virtually, I'm sure of it.
Exactly. It's totally that.
Yeah.
I also like to get a business card right away because I like to make notes on the back of it. Now, depending on what culture you're in, you need to accept a business card in a certain manner. In the United States, we tend to shove them at each other. In Japan, you have to hold the corners, hold just the corners, and you present it to the other person. It's hard to convey how to do that over radio, but there is a certain way.
Yes.
So a nice thing to do is to say, do you mind if I write on the back of your card?
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
I also always ask for two. Because I'm going to write on the back of one of them, and if they ask you why two, you tell them one for me, one for somebody else, implying that you're going to get them a referral right from the beginning.
Yeah.
But I always like to write on the back of them. I'm sitting here. I pulled this out before I got here today. I pulled out a stack of about 25 business cards from an event that I spoke at 6 weeks ago, and I can look at them, and some of them I know who they are. Most of them I do not.
Mm-hmm.
But when I flip them over, here's one for Hassano Bell from Casa de Megumi. I'm in vacation rental land here in Costa Rica.
Yeah.
And I flip it over, and it says, Asian woman sent her to GoDaddy for website. Now, I know exactly who this woman is, the conversation that we had. I know what she looks like. I know what she had asked of me and where I had sent her to get a solution.
Mm-hmm.
Just those what's. There's 12 words on the back of this card. It's also a really great way if they talk about their dog or if they talk about, like, maybe they like to ski or to boat.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great way after the event to follow up with them and send them a piece of information about their interest, not a piece of information that says buy from me.
Right.
The goal here is to create friendships and create relationships. And you do that outside of talking about your business.
True. And that's what, I mean, networking is relationship marketing. It's a whole other kind of marketing, but it's all about relationships. And the best people, the people that I personally know who are the most successful at networking, that is because they are very relationship-based. And so I appreciate what you're saying. And for those that are listening, I hope that this is something that if you haven't thought of before, that you act on. But at the same time, those of you who do already know that, you know, about relationship marketing, I'm hoping that, you know, our hope for this program today is that you can look at this with new eyes and maybe go at it a little differently the next time that you go to an event. So, okay, sorry, tangent there. Strongly about the relationships. Okay.
Absolutely. I mean, that's all, you know, that's what it is. You asked me earlier about traveling, and I have had the opportunity to travel an awful lot in the last four or five years. Before that, I had no interest in traveling outside the United States until I got plunked on a plane for London and was told I had to go. Since London, I've been in Sweden and Holland, and I spent two glorious weeks in South Africa. And I've been lots of very interesting places, all because I'm networking.
Yeah, yeah.
So I now have friends all over the world. I can say that freely, in at least 45 countries, 49 countries.
Yeah.
That I know that I can contact that will help me in whatever fashion they can in order for me to have a great time in their country.
Yeah.
And that's all built through relationships. And that's what it's all about to me is I like to know, I mean, I know half a dozen people who have sailboats just waiting for me to get on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I do tend to talk about sailing quite a bit with people. And so those are the kinds of relationships. You can always find a common denominator with someone.
Yeah, yeah. So before we get on, because I want to talk about next, you know, managing the contacts in a little bit more detail than we just have, but is there any other things before we move on to that about working that event and being effective at it?
You know, I would say the best thing is just put a smile on your face, be happy, talk with enthusiasm, and ask lots of questions. You know, there's that old line in networking about having two ears and one mouth and using them appropriate, you know.
Yeah, proportionately.
Percentage-wise.
Yep.
Proportionately, that's the word. And that's really it. I mean, I've been to networking events where I've felt kind of blue. By the end of it, I'm really jazzed up, and I have a much better attitude, and it's all about acting as if, you know, and listening to people's stories.
Yeah,
having
yeah.
a genuine, people won't, you know, the other line is people don't know how much you, or won't care about you until they know how much you care about them.
Right, right.
And that, you can get there easily by saying, asking them an offbeat question like, how did you end up in the business you're in?
Yeah, yeah, full circle there. But one other thing about that too, when you touched on, you can go to an event and you can be feeling a little blue, and then when you leave, you feel great and you're invigorated and energized. Would you agree that part of that is because the focus has gone off of you and onto another person? Not that you're a self-centered person or any of us. When we are going someplace and we might be feeling a little down or, you know, tired or whatever, but that's kind of what I've found. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Get outside my own head.
Yeah.
You know, I can make up all kinds of stories about how nobody's going to talk to me, and I'm going to, you know, dump my wine all over someone.
And I hate when that happens.
Exactly. But if you show an interest in other people, it just really always, by lending a helping hand to someone else, you make yourself feel better. It's just, it's a cause and effect thing. You have to.
Yeah.
So even if you're drained at the end of the evening, which the introverts in us are.
Yes.
there's still a level of excitement and, wow, what can I do next?
Uh-huh. So I've gone to this event, Beth, and I've got these business cards, and I've got three people for sure that I'm going to follow up with. What's my next step with, first of all, with managing? Maybe I have the three that I want to talk to, but I have 20 cards that I've collected. What do I do next?
Well, this might be a bit controversial, but I believe that if you get a business card from someone, you're allowed to email them once.
Okay.
So, I mean, by having your email address on your business card, that implies that to me.
Mm-hmm.
So while with the 20, I would add them to my mailing list, which, of course, my mailing list has an opt-out option. They're free to just click unsubscribe, and, you know, that works all well and good. I use Constant Contact as my manager, but there are lots of good ones out there.
Mm-hmm.
But with the three in specific, I might have to look at the back of that business card for a bit. You know, meaning a few minutes to figure it out. You know, if someone has a labradoodle, I also have a thing for dogs, so I might send them a quick email. I like the personal touch of it.
Mm-hmm.
It was great meeting you last night at the Twin West Chamber event, and hearing more about how you got into, you know, paper hanging.
Yeah.
or whatever it is that you do. I thought of you when I saw this article today, and, you know, finding an article is pretty darn simple. All you have to do is Google labradoodle, and you'll find a current article about that particular topic.
Mm-hmm.
Thought you might be interested in seeing this YouTube video of this silly labradoodle.
Got it.
And let it go.
Yep. Yep.
Now, if I'm more interested in them, I might also then go ahead, you know, if I feel that there could be a fit for either a referral partner for me, meaning someone that I would want to get to know better to pass them referrals. Maybe I don't know any plumbers, and I met a plumber last night.
Mm-hmm.
Or if there's someone that I see as a prospect for my own business, I might go ahead at that point also and say, I'd love to hear more about you. Can we get together for coffee?
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Now, when you say that, you have to mean it. You want to know more about them.
Yes.
You know, we talk about networking as farming, not hunting. You don't plant a seed today and, you know, be able to reap the harvest tomorrow. So as hard as it is for some of us extroverts, that first meeting with them also needs to be about them.
Yes.
So now
Most
that doesn't
definitely.
Mean that if they, you know, I mean, if they're, you know, any kind of human, they will ask you about their business, about your business as well.
Yeah. So it doesn't mean that I can't talk about it and say, oh, no, this is all about you.
Correct.
Okay. Because if they're asking, then they're sincerely interested as well.
Yes, and I'm too simple a person to try to look for the subterfuge in conversations. It's one of the reasons I don't do well in corporate America.
No, I'm with you on that.
Yeah, I mean, if somebody asks me a question, I'm going to answer it honestly, assuming they want to hear about it.
Yeah.
So, you know, you want to keep your answers relatively short, but do answer the question.
Yeah. I have heard some people, some experts, and I'd like to know your opinion, some people do kind of a, I don't know how to explain it, but maybe a drop method where they, you know, a person will ask them a question and they'll answer it short and sweet, and then they say, well, you know, tell me more about that, and then they give it a little bit more, and then it's more or less to the point where they're kind of, the person keeps kind of directs the conversation and how far they want to go, and that way a person isn't, you know, overwhelming somebody with, here's my life story and here's everything that I do and here's my laundry list of all the products and services I have. Is that the way that you go about it, Beth, or do you have another method?
No, I would agree with that, and it all, you know, falls back to me for being conscious in the conversation.
Yes.
You have to read body language. You have to, you know, if somebody's not interested, you get that, you need to find the touch point where they would be interested. So keeping it, you know, to three or four sentences, I would caution those of you who are in a franchise-type organization from using the material directly from the people who created it, only because there was a time when a particular company I will keep out of the conversation, but they were teaching all of their people to answer a question in the same way,
yeah.
And I could spot these people a mile away because you'd ask them what they do for a living and they would answer you in the exact same sentence.
Ah.
It needs to be personal. You want to be conscious and personal about things. Take what's given to you, and if you need help with that, then get help with it from someone like Tara or myself. We can help you do that. But it needs to be a canned response. When you're talking to someone of any experience, will come off that way.
Yeah.
So make sure that, you know, you let the prospective client steer the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And through practice, you'll get better at steering it back around you.
Yeah, yeah. I think we've all been the recipient of that. I know I was at a chamber event once, and this guy came up and had, you know, brochures and products and things in his hand that he was trying to, you know, kind of shove into my hands. And, you know, of course, I was going to be polite, and I took them. And I am not kidding you. He talked to me until the event began, which was probably about 15 minutes, and then came and found me again after and wanted to set up an appointment so he could show it to me in real life. Mind you, I had not even had, you know, two words to say except for just listened, and I didn't realize, you know, at that time I didn't know how to excuse myself politely, but yeah, that kind of salesy thing where it happens right off the bat like that is a little, it's not about the relationship anymore. And like you said, being conscious and personal and watching, you know, watching for that interest, he was not watching. And so that's a huge, huge tip for you listeners. Whatever type of business that you're in, watch the person that you're visiting with to see, you know, are their eyes shifting? Are they, you know, trying to get a word in? Are they looking at their phone, checking the time? Those kind of things are very good for body language to know what to, you know, what to do next. So,
right. And when I was doing websites, it was pretty darn simple because, you know, websites been a hot topic for 10 years. Well, networking is a pretty hot topic too, and has been for a long time.
Yep.
You can take the conversation and make it of interest to them, but you have to know what their interest is first.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
absolutely.
Definitely. So now we've followed up. We've gone to the event. We followed up. We've got all of this. How do you track? I think that's something that is often overlooked. Maybe they only track what comes in, or if at all. What kind of thing do you recommend for tracking?
Yeah, tracking is a challenging thing. I'm a software developer, and I struggle with the software out there.
Yeah.
Mainly because I have issues with the software is too complicated. I wish at this point I could say, but I created a really easy one. But I don't.
Okay.
I actually tend to use one of two methods. I'm still, after 15 years, I bounce back and forth a little bit. But I have a piece of paper. A mutual friend of ours who's a professional organizer taught me this a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
I actually have a piece of paper that I staple the business card to. And when I'm contacting that person, that's where I write it down.
Okay.
And I'll make notes on it.
Like one card per person? Is that what you're saying?
One piece of paper per person.
Okay.
I've had clients that I've had for 15 years that have, you know, a whole folder with a stack of paper. There's something tactical about it that the software doesn't do for me.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I only changed my paper calendaring system over about 6 months ago to being on my iPhone. Mm-hmm. I mean, it sounds bizarre, because I am such a geek.
It's
but
not
there's something
bizarre.
About seeing the paper in front of me.
You're talking to the list girl. I get it.
Well, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So I do use paper. The other way is if you're using a tool like Constant Contact or you're creating a blog, it's all just right there.
Yeah.
I don't feel a need to keep track of it again somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's the kind of marketing that I do, but if I'm working with a client, I'm working pretty closely with them, or if I'm working on a prospect, I tend not to work with more than 4, 5, 6 prospects at a time. So I work them very intently rather than scattershot.
Yeah.
You know, the scattershot stuff is more about my blog and monthly newsletters.
Uh-huh.
So if you're on my mailing list, I'm assuming that I've sent you something. If I'm working closely to get you to be a client of mine, then I have that paper in front of me all the time. I also find that for me personally, and this is something Terry taught me as well, I have to have something in front of me or I just forget it even happened.
Yes.
That's part of the conscious part.
Yes.
And so I will have an active file of clients on my desk at all times.
Okay. Is that, when you say an active file on your desk, does that mean those papers that you've stapled the business card to?
Yep.
Okay. All right.
Yep. And then I'll move people off of it, out of the I'm working with them, I need to contact them every 3 days or every week. Eventually, if I'm not getting feedback from them or, people generally tend not to say no. They say not now.
Mm-hmm.
And another good friend of ours, Sarah Minnis, taught me, you know, she does sales training, and she was asked, when do you stop contacting them?
Yeah.
And she said, when they tell me not to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been a really hard lesson for me because I think I'm bothering people.
Yeah.
Well, let's start with only 8% of all trade show efforts are ever followed up on.
True.
So if you're wondering, you know, you're afraid to drop your business card at a table at an event, don't worry about it because you're never going to hear from the people anyway.
You're right.
And win the prize.
Yeah.
So I've adopted her method of it. It's, you know, within 3 days after the event, then on a weekly basis, and if I can set up a coffee time with them, it would be once a week. And then after 2 months, I move to once every 2 weeks. Then after 6 months, I move to once a month. At a year, she calls her prospect, calls them on the phone. And when she knows she'll be able to leave a message,
mm-hmm.
intentionally does it, consciously does it, and leaves a message and says, I'm going to continue to contact you until I hear no.
Okay.
Is now a good time. You know, maybe things have changed.
Yeah.
You know, I have had people contact me 3 or 4 years after I met them to do a website for them. Fortunately, they kept my business card on their desk.
Mm-hmm.
If I had done a better job of, because I didn't really learn all of this till I'd been doing it for 8 or 9 years.
Yeah, yeah.
If I had learned that earlier on, I probably would have had a bigger client base. So you know, I don't care if I get an email from somebody that I met 6 months ago.
No.
You know, I mean, I'm on lots of mailing lists. If I'm not interested, I'll unsubscribe.
Exactly. Exactly. And so you're telling me that we don't have to be, for the timid ones, I think especially for those of us who have that timid moment when we're following up, you're saying we don't have to be nervous about doing that repeatedly.
Not at all, because if you believe in yourself and you are passionate about what you do, you have something to offer the world.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not at that spot in your life, talk to Tara or myself. There are places we can refer you to help you get to that point.
Yes, yes.
I know Tara's very passionate about what she's doing, and so am I. And we know that we bring value to every conversation. So once you're at that point, the rest of it's pretty simple.
Excellent. Now, Beth, I know I know that you have experienced a lot of really cool things. You've read a lot of really great books. You've heard a lot of really wonderful speakers, and you've mentioned as we've been talking that you've had a timid moment here or there. Was there something or someone that really had an impact on you that helped you to get move beyond that or to get out of your own way?
Wow, one person. You know, I guess if I had to pick one person, I might pick Bob Berg.
Oh, yes. Bob has been a guest. He's lovely.
Yeah, Bob Berg. Actually, I was able to meet him through Tara. I consider him a personal friend of mine. He, for those of you who don't know, he wrote The Go-Giver. He's just a splendid man. And what he taught me was that feeling of value.
Yeah.
There certainly are probably a couple hundred other people I could mention.
I know it's hard to narrow it down.
Yeah, but that's the man who coined the phrase for me out of his latest book. Why can I not remember the name of the latest book?
It's not Endless Referrals. It's Go Givers Sell More. No.
No.
That's an older one. Oh, man, he's got so many great ones. It's not about you.
It's not about you. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Sorry, Bob.
I know it's sitting on my shelf here, and I'm going, oh.
I know my copy's at home.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's not about you. And mm-hmm. and one of the lines in there is, I write to know what I think. And that's served me very well over the years. I write to know what I think. And Bob's message is a strong one of personal relationships.
Yes.
He knows how to build them, and I'd follow him to the ends of the earth. So, yeah, Bob Berg.
All right, fantastic. And so those of you who are listening and you're looking for that one thing and you're a reader or you're a listener or anything like that, Bob Berg is excellent. He's got wonderful books. He's got a fantastic blog, and you can find him anywhere, and he's extremely about the relationship. Excellent. Beth, if there was one thing out of the things that we've talked about or something else, if there was one thing that our listeners could do today that would make a big difference, one thing, what would that be?
Stay conscious today. Be aware today and know today what you can do to have others help you build your business. One of the things that Tara has asked me is, what's a good referral for me? And that always makes me Tom Fleming taught me this years ago. He walked up to me, this is a client of mine, Beth, what can I do for you? And I didn't have an answer. So come up with that answer for yourself today. When someone offers you help, accept the help. No matter who they are or where they are, you don't know who they know.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to make sure that they know how they can help you, because people can't help you until you can teach them.
Yeah.
So for me, that might, that'll be something different than what it would be for you. You know, sometimes it's as easy as, can somebody tell me where, my hairdresser retired? Where can I find a new hairdresser?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's, I need a new tax account.
Right.
You know, it can be, or a contact at the IRS. Whatever it is, have that top of mind for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So that when someone says, how can I help you, you can say, do you know John Schmidt at such and such company? I'd like to get introduced to him.
Yeah.
Have that one thing that you can always answer.
Excellent. Thank you for that. So I am going to ask you, Beth, what is a good referral for you? Because this is a networking show.
It is. At the moment, I am concentrating on building my speaking business to get more speaking engagements. At the moment, my plan, I happen to be living in Wisconsin, Western Wisconsin, about an hour and a half out of Minneapolis, St. Paul. So within, I don't know, I'll go anywhere. I've spoken in South Africa and Sweden, and so wherever I need to go. But specifically in the Minnesota, Western Wisconsin area, I'm looking for organizations that want to hear my message about networking, whether that's I have a special place in my heart for women's groups, of course. Mm-hmm. I have I'll be speaking at a Rotary meeting when I get back within a couple of weeks here. So if you have an organization that you think I can bring value to by helping them network more effectively, more efficiently, and more consciously, that would be a good referral for me.
Okay. And so if we're sitting here listening and we think, oh, we want Beth to come and talk to my group, how would we be able to contact you?
You can find my contact information at theconsciousnetworker.com. And yes, you have to spell it correctly.
That's why we have spell check.
The web designer spelled conscious wrong the first time she registered. So that's always the first time she registered a domain name.
Okay.
But also you can, if it's easier for you, BethMAnderson.com. That's M as in Mary. If you Google me, you will find me. You have to have my middle initial.
Yeah.
But I will turn up. I'm not Beth Marie. She's the musician. But Beth M. Anderson, the Conscious Networker, should come up in Google for you.
Okay. All right. Fantastic. Well, thank you very much for being on our show today. I hope that you'll come back, because I know that you have a lot of other things that you could share with our listeners that would help them to be networking more effectively. I appreciate you, Beth.
Oh, Tara, I appreciate you, and thank you so much for the opportunity to speak to your audience.
It's my pleasure, and our pleasure as listeners as well. I hope that you have had some eye-opening moments as you've been listening today, and maybe it's something that, maybe the things that Beth has talked about today are things that you already knew, but maybe they triggered something in your mind that you could do better or differently. And really, when we're taking the time out, you know, to work on ourselves and work on our businesses and invest that time in ourselves to learn, we're really making progress, and we are being conscious. And so whether you're networking at an event or a family reunion or at your children's game or, you know, one-on-one, take some of these tips that Beth has given us today and really put them to use, whether it's having to do with following up or managing the contacts that you have or tracking. These are all things that will make a difference in our business, help us to be more conscious so that we can be more effective. There's a saying that my mom used to say to me when I was young, and it's something that is not, it's actually quite famous. It's no matter where you go, there you are. I used to think it was so silly. But at the same time, when we're networking, you're right there. Be conscious of what is happening, because you just never know that you might be able to make a difference for somebody else. And it might be exactly what you need for your business. So thank you again for taking time out of your day to listen. To stay current on what's happening with the Once Timid Networker, you can find us on Facebook and on our website, theoncetimidnetworker.com. I hope today's show has helped you to be a conscious networker going forward. And for those of you who want to listen to us again, you can find us anytime you like. We appreciate you listening in, and I wish you a lovely rest of your day.
This has been a presentation of Next Stage Online Radio, the internet radio station for Next Stage Media Group. For more information on our business and lifestyle programs, go to nextstagemediagroup.com.